Oh, put it in.
Did that bring us in?
Yes, yes. Oh, it's in. It's in. Oh, deeper.
Party on your pussy.
The Reverend is in.
The Reverend is in.
The Rev Bookburn Show. Sunday evening, 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Now heard on LoisBura.com.
The Reverend is in, starting in about 1 minute. Okay, are we ready? Are we ready? I'm ready. Anytime. All right. Say when. Yes, this big phallic-looking thing that we talk into is working. Let's try the other mic. The weapon of ass destruction is working. And finally... Yes, the big John Holmes porn star microphone is working. We are ready. Yes, I'm ready. No shit. And you're recording? Good. Okay. Go. Good evening. This is Reverend Bookburn. The show is called The Reverend Is In. And tonight... we're doing a very special show. Yes, it's electronic payback for the slut-shaming purveyor of hate for many years. Rush, the limp dick, limp ball. And we have plenty of guests. Also, tonight, we are going to have Rush's favorite third world sex worker... two governors, Governor Bob McDonnell of Virginia and Governor Tom Corbett right here in Philadelphia, in beautiful Pennsylvania, have agreed to come on the show so they could get an intrusive, invasive, unnecessary medical procedure similar to the anti-choice laws that they have passed. And Dickless Cheney will be on later to celebrate his new heart. Plus, new music from... yet even more diverse musicality tonight. Brand new Bruce Springsteen, which I love. And brand new Anti-Flag, which I also love. We are not doing an Easter, what some people will do to get nailed show. So you'll hear some of your favorite Easter show tunes tonight. And we're also going to update you on... a sick Nazi hacker. All of that is to come tonight on the Reverend is in. Let's play the first set of tunes. Let's kill this first CD. The foreplay tonight was a compilation entitled The Rocky Horror Punk Rock Show. And the first tune of tonight's show goes back to 1968. And we thought it was a good song to play for Rush. It's by Deep Purple, and it is called Hush.
Speaking of Satan, I was watching Rush Limbaugh the other day. Didn't Rush Limbaugh remind you of one of those gay guys who likes to lay in a tub while other men pee on him? Am I the only one? Can't you see his fat body in a tub while Reagan, Quayle, and Bush just stand around pissing on him, and he can't, his little piggly wiggly dick can't get hard. I can't get hard. Reagan, pee in my mouth. Well, how's that, Rush? Still can't get hard, so they call in Barbara Bush. She takes her pearls off, puts them up his ass, then squats over him, undoes her girdle. Her wrinkled, flaccid labia unfolds halfway down to her knees like some ballless scrotum. She squeezes out a link into his mouth. Finally, his dick gets half hard. A little clear bubble forms on the end with a maggot inside. The maggot pops the bubble and runs off and joins a pro-life group somewhere. Am I the only one that sees that? Or I'm not? Thank God I'm not alone. Thank God I had the insight to notice Rush Limbaugh is a scat muncher. He munches scat. Jesus, Bill. So proud of that little dark color. Started, I came up with the word scat muncher, and it went from there, and I just immediately thought of Rush.
This is Halliburton, Ernie, and it's so good to be here tonight with Reverend Bookburn and Pastor Whoremaster and John the Craptist and Rush Limpnick and all of the guests who are amassed in here at Lolo Radio this evening. And before we play our Easter, what some people will do to get nailed song, because we're not doing the Easter show next Sunday, we thought we would play a song about Rush the Oxyhead and Rush the Viagra Man. This is a very beautiful song sung by Rush himself, entitled My Drugs Are Red, White, and Blue. This is Halliburton Ernie introducing Rush Limpnick.
I'm Rush the Magic Dragon, the right-wing drugstore cowboy, a hillbilly heroin addict, a ditto-head deadhead now, boy. You know that my opinions were always kind of whack. Now you know the reason. I'm strung out on mountain smack. My drugs are red, white, and blue. I also like the pink ones, the little green ones too. When you're on drugs, you see things that no one else can see. Like right there, I saw Jesus, and he drives an SUV. My drugs are red, white, and blue. Would you hand all the guns out to someone sniffing glue? You gotta be on something if you push the NRA. I need more pills to make that Michael Moore guy go away. My drugs are red, white, and blue. This isn't paranoia. John Ashcroft's watching you. When you're on drugs, there's terrorists everywhere you go. Al Franken's in Al-Qaeda. Bill O'Reilly told me so. My drugs are red, white, and blue. When you hear junkies jiving, just what percent is true? Kids say no to morphine, 'cause it can lead to grass. It really blows your mind when your head is up your ass. My drugs are red, white, and blue. GOP party monsters party all night through. It's only pharmaceuticals, it's not a real crime. The crime is I can't figure out how to blame it on the Clintons this time.
The apostles were just adding men with marketing savvy. They knew their demographics, they knew what made the people happy. Monotheism's cool and all, but we need to make the heathens identify with someone who's not afraid to jump on a cross and die. Someone who's not afraid to jump on a cross and die. Well, one of them said, what about that Jesus fella a few years back? With the right PR, he could still make a pretty big impact. It really ain't important what he did or said. It's just like Johnny Bravo that he bit the threads. When those ad men went home that night, they took off their coats and ties and concocted the greatest story ever told in their lives. Came back to the boardroom and preached the gospel. Luke told about the time that Jesus took him to the hospital. Matthew spoke of a manger, wise men, frankincense, and myrrh. One of them said, hey, let's make Mary just a surrogate mother. They talked about that time at the temple when he was ranting about his dad upstairs. Slowly they noticed Jesus' name getting into prayers. The apostles were just adding men with marketing savvy. They knew their demographics, they knew what made the people happy. Monotheism's cool and all, but we need to make the heathens identify where someone is not afraid to jump on a girl to die. Well, just a little later, Rome was filing chapter 11. When Constantine in 316 said, what's all this about going to heaven? Later that same afternoon, the Roman Empire struck back with a decree. From here on out, without a doubt, it's Christianity. Christians everywhere felt that they had pulled a coup. They'd no longer sell out the Colosseum just to end up lying food. They had finally established a foothold in the Roman Empire. But soon Attila sacked their joint and lit their church on fire. When the smoke cleared, just like I feared, the ages sure were dark. Monks in robes used to sing about him like he was from Asbury Park. Witches, Jews, and heretics were in a terrible position. They didn't check 'cause no one expects a Spanish Inquisition. Christians for sure. They traded in their crusader hats for paintbrushes by the score. Books were wrote and Steve Gutenberg made copies of the wisdom. Martin Luther had a little dance craze with a hit he called the schism. Now Catholics got that fucker nailed up in effigy. His most humiliating moment for everyone to see. It's so long ago that no one knows if it's truth or if it's lies. Only that the story has become a most successful franchise. Money, power, fame, and every cent of it tax free. It's amazing when folks won't give the dig a little eternity. We've evolved to brag about our thumbs and big brain cases. It's amazing how strong it seems that the need for blind faith is. The apostles were just dead men with marketing savings. They knew that demographics, they knew what made the people happy. Monotheism's cool and all, but we need to make the heathens identify with someone who's not afraid to jump on a cross and die. Someone who's not afraid to jump on a cross and die. I said, someone who's not afraid to jump on a cross and jump on a cross and fucking die.
Thank you.
Smoking crack. She's a bitch.
She's a bitch.
Fuck her.
Fuck her.
Asshole.
Asshole.
Fuck her.
Fuck her.
She's a bitch.
She's a bitch.
Fuck her.
Fuck her.
Asshole.
Asshole.
Fuck her.
One more time.
Fuck Ted
You heard Fuck Ted Nugent by Goldfinger from the Benefit compilation Liberation, Songs to Benefit PETA, People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. Before Fuck Ted Nugent, you heard Adam Brodsky doing Jump on a Cross and Die. That's our way of making up for not doing the Easter, what some people will do to get nailed show this year. Before Adam Brodsky, Wayne Lammers, as Rush Limbaugh, did My Drugs Are Red, White, and Blue from Al Franken's CD, The O Franken Factor. Bruce Springsteen did We Take Care of Our Own from his brand new CD, Wrecking Ball, which is fantastic. Bill Hicks did Rush Limbaugh from his comedy CD, Rant in E Minor, and started off with Deep Purple doing Hush. This is Reverend Bookburn. The show is called The Reverend Is In, and tonight the theme is Rush Limbaugh's Viagra Adventure. And we have so much to do tonight, and guests, we spared no expense at importing the third world sex worker, one of them, who knows Rush Limbaugh, very well, and we're going to get to that as soon as possible. And why, some people may be asking, are you making such a vicious mockery of Rush Limbaugh? And there really are too many reasons to explain that in detail and like in a serious explanation. But for 20 years, he has defended all that is wrong with the world. He defended Reaganomics when it was laying the groundwork for our economic destruction, defended both Bushes, defended Iran-Contra, defended the Contra Wars, defended the transformation of this system into a servitude for corporate America and the top 1%, defended racists, defended the rapists of Halliburton, defended the anti-choice terrorists, defended the theocrats, defended the drug war, which is ironic considering his drug-related behaviors with OxyContins and with Viagra, and so much more. But we have done Rush-themed shows before. In fact, we did it right after the Viagra. I don't think he was actually arrested, was he, Pastor Hormaster? Or detained. Thank you, John Necraptist. John Necraptist said he was detained at the airport because he was illegally bringing in Viagra. I think it was written out to somebody else. It was like a super large quantity. Anyways, but all of that is history. What he did most recently was the slut shaming. And if you don't know about the recent incident, well, I guess we'll bring the news to your cocoon. It's a response to what Rush the Limptic said right after a woman testified about contraception in Washington, because in case you didn't notice, the far right, people of both parties, but mostly Republicans, have been pushing extreme anti-choice laws and anti-birth control laws, and they're still at it. They're going at it in every state. And a woman testified about contraception and insurance and public policy, a well-educated woman, spoke very well, and Rush went on the air to call her a slut and that she ought to be making porn videos so he could watch them, which I thought was also interesting for somebody who panders to the family values crowd, although we've seen how they behave and we point out all of their scandals on the show. So he was engaged in slut shaming, which is not only hypocritical because of his own actions, but it is idiotic in the first place, because it means taking a posturing that you are a sex negative and suggesting that sex is bad, people who are sexual and single are bad, people who have more than one partner in their life are bad, and people who are not ashamed to have a well-rounded sexual history are bad. And the word slut, which is a meaningless word, you know, is used to kind of bring shame and condition guilt into the woman. And so not only was he misrepresenting this woman, but he was acting as if slut was a bad thing. And he was acting as if he was in a position to say that about somebody else. And he was acting as if there was something wrong with it in the first place. So that resulted in a full-scale reaction against him, letter-writing campaigns, online petitions, and a large number of advertisers suddenly said fuck you to Rush Limbaugh and to those oh so wonderful people from the lowest of corporate the corporate media, a Clear Channel, and as a result, many advertisers more and more have been pulling out, as they say in Rush's favorite third world brothels, they have been pulling out. And so he's also looking like a horse's ass to his followers because he apologized twice to the woman whom he insulted or attempted to insult. And he also looks like an asshole to the entire nation because now, even though most of what he does is under the radar and only known about by his, twisted, non-thinking followers, the nation knows that he is a behind and that his days are numbered as far as being a broadcaster goes, and that he is on the decline. And so we're going to come back in a little bit to discuss Rush's tastes in sexual behaviors with somebody who would know what Rush Limp Dick is like sexually. Why, a third world sex worker. And we have her right here. So just a couple of news items, and then we'll get into it. There is no show next Sunday night. That's right. Historically, we do Easter, what some people will do to get nailed, themed show, but we're not doing that. We are coming back in 2 weeks on April 15th for another sacred annual holiday tradition on The Reverend Is In, Reverend Bookburn's birthday show. And no previews, no clues about that in advance. That's in 2 weeks on April 15th, Reverend Bookburn's birthday show. And we're coming back 2 weeks after that on April 29th. And we're going to do a theme we haven't done in a while. We haven't done a totally hemp-related show for a while now. So we're going to do, it'll be after April 20th or 420 this year. So we'll do 420 show of 2012, and that's going to happen on 429. And as the book burners can tell you, we acknowledge May as being National Masturbation Month. And so we will be doing at least two shows in May, alias National Masturbation Month. The first one will be subtitled Focus on the Family Jewels. Any deaths? No deaths to report after so many in the last couple of months, but none to report now that are either people we know or famous people we liked, like Michael Davis of the MC5, Davy Jones of the Monkees, etc. So that's good news. We have birthdays between tonight and my birthday show. It will be the birthday of Paul Krasner, who has written books, published The Realist, has done CDs, one of which you'll hear later, and it's just amazing that he's still going since the 1960s, co-founder of the Yippies, and you can get the latest couple of books and the reissue of a book at Paul Krasner. KRASSNER, PaulKrasner.com. Happy birthday to him. And also happy birthday to longtime friend and past guest on this show. He's known as Agent 45 on eBay, selling underground music all the time. And but he's known to us by his real name, Lord Jesus. And Lord Jesus will be... We're not allowed to say his age. Okay. Lord Jesus was born pretty close to this day, and happy birthday to him. Let's see. Friends in the news. Our dear, dear friend Jennifer Hunter from what was called Jennifer Hunter Consulting. Now on the net, she's jenniferhunter.org. Got quoted in the New York Times today. And it's funny because she usually doesn't do media. But she did. She was in the New York Times. How did we find it? Today's paper, opinions, op-eds, and columns. Maureen Dowd is the author, and it's the word tied is in it, like fit to be tied, about dominatrixes and kink and an erotic book. And I just went to the Jennifer Hunter parts. But anyway, that's today's New York Times, Maureen Dowd op-ed or column, fit to be tied, featuring our dear friend Jennifer Hunter, jenniferhunter.org. Congratulations. And if you are on the Reverend Bookburn Facebook site, it's posted there as well. Oh, all this fucking news. There's more, but I think I'm going to hold off on that. Let's see. If we have time, we'll have Dickless Cheney on later, since he got a heart transplant recently. You can't make this shit up. Life is more bizarre than the stuff we come up with for this show. And, show enough, he is using a transplanted heart. The sad news is they still won't provide benefits and coverage for George W. to get a brain transplant. So sorry, Bush, but that's not happening. And when's Palm and Stroke Sunday? It might be today. Let's see. Yeah, I guess it's the week. God, I forget all this shit. And I was programmed into it the entire time I was growing up. If it is Palm and Stroke Sunday, we are sorry about not doing that as a theme, because we just thought it was more urgent to do the Rush theme than to do our traditional sacred holiday special, Palm and Stroke Sunday. Let's see. Is this the gray microphone? Let's see. The first one?
Yes.
Okay. All right. I want to thank you for coming here from the Dominican Republic. And I really commend you for kind of outing yourself as somebody who, even though it was just business, who consented to have sexual experiences with Rush Limbaugh. Oh, what do I do? Mm-hmm. This?
Mm-hmm. Oh, hello. First, I want to say hello. And thank you for having me. It's no problem.
Okay, well, I guess what the people in America and really all around the world want to know is when you accepted money in your little brothel in your home country, did you have to resist vomiting? Was it hard to not get sick?
Oh, I've had all kinds of fatties before. So, you know, it's no big deal. But, you know, Rush, you know, he like a little finger in his toolkit, you know.
Oh, did you finger his nose?
He was puta madre, you know.
Okay. How are his moobs? Did you feel up his moobs?
Oh, he liked to have the finger in the ass, you know.
Oh, that's his thing.
Oh, yeah.
I suspected that.
Oh, yeah. He was madre con. He a very, how do you say in English? Gay homosexual?
Oh, okay. So he liked anal penetration.
Oh, yes. Yes. I wore a device. I wore a strap on, you know.
This is very interesting. Did he ask you things like, suck the lint out of my navel or anything like that?
Oh, no. Listen, I give him the instruction. You know, I am the dominatrix, you know.
Oh, you gave him orders.
Yes. He bowed to me. He had to lick between my toes.
Okay. Well, I hope he was worth the money. I can't look at you. I hope it was worth the money.
Oh, you know, we got to do what we got to do, you know. I need my Manila palms.
Okay,
And he okay. He does what I tell him to do.
Well, I guess what everybody wants to know is, did the Viagra help him? Like, did his little dick?
Oh, let me tell you, you know, ay, 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 ay. The Rush, you know, he take forever. I have to pull on the pod forever. But, you know, that don't bother me because I don't really want to have that in my butt anyway. I just make sure that I have the device and I tickle his rear. That's all.
Okay. There you have it. Chiquita, I thank you from the bottom of my heart.
Oh, well, thank you for having me on. I sort of appreciate it.
Okay, and we do have over-the-counter stuff for nausea in case you became ill reliving your experiences with Rush Limbaugh. And thank you for showing us the strap-on that you used.
Oh, not a problem. If you like, you can have it for a souvenir. You know, Rush, you know, look, he's a fat, a bloated pig. But you know what? I do what I got to do. You know, the girls have got to make a living. What are you going to do?
Okay, well then we will ask Lolo if we can hang it up in Lolo Radio.
Of course. As
a permanent memory of your appearance on this show.
Well, gracias, senor. Gracias.
Thank you very much. Big thank you to Chiquita for coming to America to be on the show this evening and to report to you on Rush Limbaugh's sexual performance, although actually it sounded more like it was her performance if she used a strap-on in his butt. But thank you once again. All right. God, I love her. All right. I don't think we're going to have time to do all this shit. But after the second set of tunes, we want to have not only Rush Limbdick, but Governor Tom Corbett here in Pennsylvania and Governor Bob McDonnell of Virginia to receive very nasty, very intrusive, invasive, unnecessary medical procedures in the spirit of their anti-choice legislation. And also we want Dickless Cheney to come in the room to talk about his new heart. Let's go back to the music. And this is a song that is for Rush. It is by the late Jeffrey Frederick from his Clamp Tones BC CD. And this goes to Rush. It's called Penile Malfunction.
I have a penile malfunction, it's bothering me. Lord, I cannot screw and I can barely take a pee. Oh, mischievous penis, why are you plaguing me? Take the problem out of my crotch and get it somewhere neath my knees. I'm somewhere else. Disobedient blood vessel, why in heaven are you giving me hell? Pick the problem out of my crotch and get it somewhere beneath my knees or somewhere
every day. There's not a porno film I haven't seen. Linda, Georgina, and Marilyn, all my favorite stars upon the silver screen. I'm leaving my old neighborhood, no longer a non-entity. I wonder how I'll like Holly. Linda, Georgina, Marilyn, and me. What have they got? I haven't got more of what they can take two of. I can take more of. It costs more money when your actors are lean. It only takes one of me to fill up your screen. What can they do? I couldn't do better. I'm enclosing a snapshot along with the Jack, Bob, Howard, and Fred. Richard, John, Artie, and Ted. And that's just a shot of my head. Marilyn, Linda, Georgina, and me. Stars of the dirty movie industry. Marilyn, Linda, Georgina, and me. We'll go down on history. Maybe I ought to change my name to something more easily spoken or sung. Sally Stryker Meyer isn't destined for fame. How about Clitoris Leachman or Tallulah Tongue? I've seen every picture, I know every line. Linda Lovelace is an idol of mine. She should have got the Oscar, she was the best. Would have been a little sticky, I guess. Marilyn Chambers is really quite skilled. I tried her act and I almost got killed. I couldn't master what she does with ease. It's hard on the throat, not to mention the knees. And I kept falling off of the trapeze. I've been delving into Georgina Spelvin, along with everyone else, I guess. If you're a jurist or if you're a purist, yeah, I must admit that she's the best. There's nothing niftier than a boa constrictor within your grasp. The devil in this throne shook me to my bones, but I don't want to be just another piece of ass. I can see it all now. Sally Strykermeyer starring in So Earth the Rote. Mr. Producer.
This is Dr. Greed, and I am fed up with the shenanigans and evil humor of the show. They are degrading a very fine man who I admire greatly, Rush Limbaugh. And now they're going to play something even more degrading for him. They're twisting an old song by a 60s band called Strawberry Alarm Clock so they can make it into something demeaning to Rush Limbaugh. A song entitled, They Saw the Fat When Coming.
They said they saw him in the morning, but they just couldn't understand why he was crying. He came upon them without warning and told them of the things he left behind him dying. Why did he come to our fair city? Why did he say the things that only make us worry? He said it killed but showed no pity. It came upon him like the devil's raging fury. Why did it spare him? Why is he here? Who's this stranger that walks among us? And why is he here? Why did he live? Maybe a deal's been made between them.
You heard TSOL doing Sounds of Laughter. The Rehabs did Freddy My Love. The Clash did Clamp Down. Strawberry Alarm Clock did They Saw the Fat One Coming. Freedom of Expression did I Got Stoned and I Missed It. From the Let My People Come soundtrack, you heard Linda, Georgina, Marilyn, and Me, and started off with Jeffrey Frederick's song for Rush Limbic entitled Penile Malfunction. This is Reverend Bookburn. The show is called The Reverend Is In. Tonight the theme is Rush Limbaugh's Viagra Adventures. And it was a delight to have Chiquita come from her home nation and be with us on the show tonight and talk about the sexual practices when he pays for them of Rush Limbaugh. Okay. Do we have to get anything out of the way before the guests? No, not that. Okay, how about if you talk into the microphone, if you're going to talk? All right, if you tuned in late, we are we were talking to Chiquita from a third world nation about Rush Limbaugh's sexual practices when he travels abroad with large quantities of Viagra, which he did illegally on a trip, I guess, a year or two ago. And, all right, let's bring in Pennsylvania Governor Tom Corbett and Virginia Governor Bob McDonnell. Get them ready. We have more news. And good thing we write shit down. Longtime book burners may remember the late Marlin, the great engineer. And he was the producer of the show from the beginning of The Reverend Is In 2001 until he passed away in 2005 of a heart attack in his early 30s, which shocked us, which just absolutely sucked. And we're fortunate now to have Pastor Whoremaster and John Necreptus. Marlon, no offense to these guys, but Marlon was not afraid to talk into the microphone, participate, and join in the fun, which is cool. But he was not just great in terms of being a show person, but just an absolutely awesome person. And he's acknowledged when we do the anniversary shows in January, but he's in the news for Bookburners tonight because the Reverend has been hearing from Mary, alias Marlon's mom, and so she's been in touch, and so we got to know that, you know, the family is fine and she's fine. And Mark Dark, alias Father Oblivion, is fine. And the cat who was living with Reverend Bookburn for a while, Herman, Marlon's cat, is with a family member of Marlon's and doing fine. He has to be getting up there now. Because, right, he was no kitten when we were taking care of him. So... okay, so hello and love to Mary and Herman and the rest of the family. And stay in touch, of course. And, of course, love and honor to the memory of Marlon, who would definitely have dug tonight's show. You know, this was the kind of shit we used to sit around, like, thinking up. And, created the Deprogram America show 6 months after September 11th, and some of the greatest stuff from the earliest shows. He was always a participant and brainstormer of the creative and deviant process. Hello, Corbett and McDonald. Thank you for coming. Yes. Sit anywhere. No rules. Sit wherever you want. Well, I don't want to say no rules to these guys, but yes, sit anywhere. Yes, anywhere we see that thing. Wow. Okay, don't suck on it. It's a microphone. Okay. I know, it's everybody gets horny when they come in here. Okay. The reason that you guys were invited here tonight was I thought that we needed a little fairness and a little balance in response to the anti-choice legislation that both of you guys had signed in your states. And you are not the only ones, to be sure. You know, some of the other states have passed either equally bad or worse anti-choice legislation, restrictions on abortion, or birth control, or both. And but what struck me about these bills were not only that the legislature actually gave themselves the role of doctors and making doctor decisions and making utterly stupid regulations like you must get a sonogram and there must be a waiting period. You know, and we recently helped a friend, you know, get through her time of a procedure. And it sucked enough between the anti-choice jihadists who were outside the place to just her own conditioning and changes. It sucked without all of these utterly unnecessary, ludicrous, and added hardships of a lot of these ridiculous pieces of legislation, not to mention, of course, the costs, the added costs. But these, what was that one thing called? The transvaginal sonogram and all these like ludicrous and invasive procedures that are required of women in several states now, that are passed by these men, made me think that the only possible justice now is if these are not reversed, if these bills are not struck down in court, and we know how fucked up and Taliban influenced the Supreme Court is. At least four of them, maybe five of them, then what would implement justice? And then I thought about it, and I thought, why not invite these guys over? I'm glad they're laughing. Invite these guys over and give them an unnecessary, very intrusive, very, is the word invading appropriate here, Pastor Hormister? Invasive, yeah, that's a good word. A very invasive procedure. So, what I'm going to need from you guys is to stand up and drop your trousers. No, Chiquita is not going to do it. No, we're saving that for last. Just drop them. You agree to justice. And really, this isn't justice, considering what you deserve. But we'll settle for this. What is on those boxers? Is that like the Jetsons or Scooby-Doo or something? Christ, these guys are fucking weird. I know they call us weird, but look at these fucking people. Yes, drop the boxers, Corbett. Well, at least Corbett's aren't like whatever those were on McDonald, like the Scooby-Doo's or whatever that was. I can't see that far. All right. No, stay, keep standing and lean forward. Have your torso kind of leaning over the table. Yeah. Now, move that little mic stand and bottled water. Okay. Yes. Pastor Whoremaster and John Necraptist are healthy potheads. Okay, good. You keep leaned over. Now, we have somebody we want you to meet. And he's smiling. Here he comes as the room shakes. Rush Limbaugh himself. Okay, Rush, you've had a pretty trying month. You lost a lot of advertisers. You've lost a lot of face. And you have face to lose with Clear Channel. And even questions about the uncertainty of your broadcasting future. Now, it's your turn to get a little satisfaction. And even though these guys are allies of yours, and you guys have all been mutually supportive of each other, I still think that you are going to think this is fun. You see that big container over there that looks like it contains like epoxy or, you know, spackle or something? Well, that's really good. Yes, bring it over. That's really a large container of lube. Don't worry about the tools yet. Yes, bring the lube over. Stay down, you two. You agreed to it, so you got to do it. Okay, Corbett, stay forward. McDonald, stay that way. All right, Rush, stick your hands in that big container of lube. Yes. Yes, you can do both at the same time. That's even funnier. All right, a hand in Corbett and a hand in McDonald. No, you guys have to do it. You guys believe in invasive medical procedures that are not necessary and that are quite challenging. All right. Rush, you get them opened up. We'll try to get everything in tonight's show, even though we overplan. All right, you keep working on these assholes, and we'll bring Dickless Cheney in, because I don't want him to come all the way over here and then not, you know, get a chance to go on the show. Okay. You can tell it's a good weekend when you're always coughing. Hello, Dickless Cheney. So you have a new heart. That's good. I guess it's hard to talk right now. But I heard that you wanted to sing a song, not just for yourself, but for George W. and his attempt to get a brain transplant. Is that true? All right. Well, are you able to sing? It doesn't sound like you can even talk. All right. Is that a motorized wheelchair? All right. Let him come closer and use the other penis mic. Good. All right. Yeah, I knew you would like this microphone, Dickless Cheney. All right. Are you able to sing? Oh, man, I don't know about this. All right, now Dickless Cheney has a song he wants to sing. I'm not sure if it's even, straight from the heart, as they say. You know, it seems like it's more of a Rush song, but anyway, God, I'm blind as a bat. All right, Dickless Cheney, are you ready? Is your heart going to last at least to the end of the show when you're far away from Lolo Radio? All right. Book burners. We go through tremendous efforts to bring these people to you. And now it seems like it's all going to pay off because I, for one, have never heard Dickless Cheney sing. And we've been on the air the entire time that the W regime came to power by a coup twice. And but I never heard him sing. But now, if he can do it, if he can, it's okay. All right. Yes, it works. Talk into that big penis thing. It is a microphone. All right. I think it's Lolo's microphone. All right. Are you ready? Yeah. Here, we have a medical procedure or two to get to.
I could get it so much harder and shoot my hunting partner and blow his face apart. I could toxify the soil and kill millions just for oil if I only had a heart. I could tie up many nooses and lap up Russia's juices and try a pervy kink.
Do that again, Dickless Cheney.
I could tie up many nooses and lap up Russia's juices and try a pervy kick.
Whoa.
I could grind Palin's boobies and bounce off Christie's movies if I only had a dick. George W. Sing.
I could further kill the economy and be milk fed by my monomy and experiment in pain. I could blow poison daggers and wear white hoods with teabaggers if I only had a brain.
Ugh, you guys go back to fucking Texas. That sucked. No more Dickless Cheney and Bush singing. All right, how are we doing with these guys? All right, yes. The device we saw in one of Max Hardcore's porn tapes, whatever that like stretchy thing is, it looks like a GYN kind of a tool. All right. All right, don't try to do both at the same time. All right, stick one in either Corbett or McDonald's ass and start stretching the asshole. Oh, I see. It has like a kind of a click device, so it stays that way. All right, good. Yeah, all right. Lodge it so that it stays wide open. Yeah, we're going to stick more stuff in there during the third set of music. And then open up McDonald's. Rush, you are really liking this. All right. Open that up so we can stick, like, ticklish kinds of things in there. And a probing camera. Yeah, we can put this on YouTube later. All right. Lots of fun on Lolo Radio tonight on The Reverend Is In. And we're going to come back and check in on these indirecti of Governor Corbett of Pennsylvania and Governor McDonnell of Virginia. Let's play a song for this Rush themed show by the band that is called Rush. This is from their CD of covers. It is originally by Buffalo Springfield and is entitled For What It's Worth.
Telling me I've got to beware. haircut. Maybe he went to get a striped shirt. Maybe he went to get some plastic shoes. Maybe he went to get some funny sunglasses.
It's strange, you know, the Catholic Church has a real dilemma because they were almost going to approve condoms because they would prevent the AIDS virus from getting in, but then they realized that meant that the spermatozoa couldn't get out, and so it would be an artificial means of birth control. So they tried to get a theologically correct condom. And the first model had little tiny pinhole pricks in it just to give the spermatozoa a fighting chance. You know, that's all they ask for. But then, if that were the case, the HIV could get in. So they went back to the Vatican drawing board and came out with theologically correct condom 2, which also had the teeny tiny little pinhole pricks in the rubber, but it also had feather repellers and a stenciled warning on the reservoir tip. Wrong way, do not enter, severe tire damage. On April Fool's Day, I was in San Francisco, and it was a lovely sunny day. I was wearing a jacket that my daughter had given me from Mad Magazine. So it had Alfred Newman on the back saying, "What me worry?" And I was in Washington Square Park waiting for the St. Stupid Day Parade to come, which was sponsored by the Church of the Last Laugh, typical San Francisco activity. There were people dressed in clown suits there, and there was a bunch of musical instruments that had the yellow police tape around them that said, "Police line, do not cross." And a guy in a clown costume came up to me and gave me a few feet of it, which I rolled up and put in my pocket. But it was that kind of afternoon. So I was in San Francisco because I was going to MC a benefit for Jan Kerouac, the daughter of Jack Kerouac, even though she only met him once. You know, to be a sperm donor is not enough anymore. And that's where Beat came from, the Beat Generation, from Deadbeat Dad. Nobody ever knew that before. But Jan was very ill. She has since died, but we were holding a benefit for her that night at a theater in Fort Mason in San Francisco near the wharf. And backstage, somebody had given me a little baggie of something. You know, people do that as a gesture. And I said, "Thanks very much." He said, "You really enjoy it." And I put it in my pocket and forgot about it. Now, out in the parking lot, I'm in the car with my friend Julius, who is an inveterate pot smoker. I mean, he was once going to drive a woman to the hospital when she was going to have a baby. And she started to have her contractions. And he says, "Wait a minute." And he's still rolling a joint for the trip. So we're in the parking lot, and he's rolling a joint in the cardboard box on the dashboard with the map light on. And then we see a cop's car way in the distance, and they're over there, so we feel okay, not realizing they're circling around the whole parking lot and coming behind us with their lights off. And I'm on the passenger side, and suddenly there's a knock on the window and a big flashlight. And you know how your heart suddenly goes thump? You know it's reality. You don't have to pinch yourself. You know that your whole life has inevitably led to this point. And you might have said something. I don't think it's good to roll a joint with the map light on. You know, you kind of just let yourself be cowed. Now, Julius and I are told to get out of the car and get to the side of the car. And he had only the pot. So he gets a $50 citation. And now the guy is searching me. And I'm trying to think, can I throw this little baggie away? But I couldn't. It was just too late. I mean, I was stuck with it. And there he is searching me, looking at my back, which has Alfred E. Newman staring back at him, saying, "What me worry?" And he's saying, "You don't have anything sharp in your pockets, do you?" I guess he figures needles. I say, no, there's keys in that pocket and a pen in that pocket. And he says, "Because if I get stuck, I'm going to be very mad." And then he pulls out of one of my pockets and he unrolls it, this yellow police tape. And he says, "Where'd you get that?" I said, "I got it at the St. Stupid Day Parade." He said, "What's it for?" I said, "To hold people back." And then suddenly he comes upon the little baggie, throws it on the hood of the car, and there it is. And I'm saying to myself, psilocybin. And the cop says, "So you like mushrooms, huh?" And I get handcuffed and taken in a car. This is federal property, Fort Mason, so these are federal cops. So they're taking me to the Presidio there in handcuffs behind my back. And, you know, mushrooms to me have always been very pleasant. I even took mushrooms when I was going to be on the Tom Snyder show, just as a kind of mushroom macho. And it was strange because it came on during the interview, and I was talking about how I believe that the CIA had programs of mind control experimentation. And Tom Snyder says, "Oh, so you're paranoid, huh?" I say, "Well, Tom, you know, conspiracy and paranoia are not synonymous." And he says, "Oh, yeah, you're paranoid, all conspiracy theories." And I say, "Well, look, I'll tell you about a real conspiracy theory." And he goes, "Okay, what, knitting his brows. And I say, "Well, remember that horse ruffian who broke her leg in a race and then they shot her?" He says, yeah, what about it? I said, "Well, you know why they shot her? She knew too much." So Snyder is looking around at his producer like, "Who booked this flake?" And then he realizes that it was a put-on, and he starts laughing. And to me, on the mushroom, it looked like Tom Snyder doing Dan Aykroyd doing him. And his laughter is like musical notes on a scale. So I'm in the back of the police car remembering this with my handcuffs on, and they bring me to the Presidio. They take the handcuffs off so they can take my fingerprints. And now the guy's trying to be nice. And he's saying, "So you're a comedian, huh?" While he's rolling my fingers. Because these guys are young twerps who have never had a drug bust before. You know, they just traffic things there. So I sat in the cell there, and I was getting angry. I wasn't scared because I hadn't harmed anyone. You know, I mean, what am I doing here? You just felt the insanity of it. And as it turned out, I was ready to have a trial. So they decided that it was just enough for personal use. And so therefore, I got a $200 citation and nothing on my permanent record. But it was very strange because I realized what I was angry about and what I was sad about was the implications of this guy saying, "So you like mushrooms, huh?" It was like him saying, "So you like the evolution of consciousness, huh?" Because when the Berlin Wall crumbled in 1989 and communism fell, they had to replace it with the war on drugs. They had to have that hysteria go somewhere. So, you know, what do we have? It's a war on drugs, and we have a general, General McCaffrey, as the drug czar. The first drug czar was William Bennett, who then became the education czar, and now he's the virtue czar. So it was a war on drugs, and as long as the government can decide arbitrarily which drugs are legal and which are illegal, then anybody behind bars for any kind of drugs is a political prisoner. Over 10 million people have been arrested for smoking marijuana. Over 10 million. And now, of course, they're getting hysterical again because Proposition 215 was passed. And so General McCaffrey says, "Oh, now there's going to be more crime because people can smoke pot to ease their nausea." But of course, we have a secret weapon, which is the neutron bong. The neutron bong wipes out the user but leaves the stash intact. So now they've even brought it to the home where parents can buy in the drugstore a home drug test kit where they have their kids pee in a cup, you know, build up trust. and then they send it to some place and get a number. So I decided I wanted to try it. See, what happens is, it's like a chess game. The technology comes where you can test for drugs at home, so then the technology is also there where you can now get powdered urine by mail that's drug-free. You just pour it into a glass, add warm water, and stir, and you have drug-free urine for your next test. So when Ed Pearl told me that I would have to take a drug test to perform here, I got some of this yellow powder in the mail. And then I got stoned to really test it. I got so stoned, though, that I poured the yellow powder into a glass, and then I peed in it. And then I decided to drink it. Because I wanted to raise my spiritual consciousness to a higher plateau. So I'll tell you what I learned from it, and you don't have to do it. Drinking your own urine does not raise your spiritual quest to a higher plateau. It's the decision to drink your own urine that does the trick. Once you decide to drink your own piss, you're halfway there. It's one of the earliest taboos. Don't drink your waste matter. So you taste it a little salty perhaps, but that's it. And once you transcend one taboo, it has a ricochet effect, and you can start looking more objectively at other taboos. So that's one of the perks of coming tonight, is that you don't have to drink your own urine to know how it works.
So many cover-ups, nothing's ever what it seems. That's scandal.
Scandal, scandal, scandal. Yow, yow, hey, hey.
Could bring the government to its knees.
Right down to them knees. Yow, give them a bad please, 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 yow, yow.
This is a warning.
I'm George W. Bush, and I approve this message. I always was a good friend of Rush, Limp Dicks, and Tommy Corbett, of course, and Bob McDonald. And it's really funny to see these guys with their assholes spread apart and with, like, what looks like metal flowers growing out of them. But I think my friend Rush will get through this newest scandal. Calling some slut a slut. And I'm also happy to see my friend Nicholas Cheney getting a new heart. It was funny, even though he still can't sing for shit. But my friend Rush will get through these times, and there's always more advertisers where the old ones came from. So I think he's going to be just fine. And we'll just go back to hanging out, telling stories, and laughing at the 99%. I'm George W. Bush, and I approve this message.
Yes, it's that very special time once again. It's time for Asshole of the Week. And we have a real low asshole this week. There are no runners up, just the asshole. Sunday, April 1st, 2012, at LoisBurek.com, host of Lolo Radio, ReverendBookburn.com, and Radio 4 All, Radio Numeral 4 All.net. Tonight, Asshole of the Week is the Nazi hacker who decided to attack adult entertainer from our very own Pennsylvania and acquaintance through the social networking sites, and now somebody that we are hugely supporting because of this attack. The Nazi hacker attacked Gina Lynn, and he didn't just hack into her sites, but broadcasted personal information and other identity theft kinds of behavior. Gina Lynn makes no secret and is actually happy about it, and that is very cool, that she is of mixed ethnicity. I believe she's part Puerto Rican, part Sicilian, and possibly a third, but it doesn't matter. What matters is that some asshole white supremacist and Nazi affiliate has decided that she deserved a hacker attack. Not somebody in power, like the people that, you know, Anonymous and WikiLeaks go after, you know, the powers that be that deserve it, but to attack Gina Lynn, the Nazi hacker and his unwitting defender, a failed entertainer and wannabe, Hans Asolo, who is like, no, we must not use dramatic speech to attack the hater. You are not an asshole, because that's too great in a word. But his unwitting defender is more like, instead of an asshole, he's a fart during the symphony. But the hacker from the Nazi groups is the lowest form of life. He is a total asshole. And tonight, Nazi hacker, you are Asshole of the Week. Hey, we lost our fart sounds. All right. Kill that recording anyway. You heard Anti-Flag doing Controlled Opposition, Bullshit Opportunist, and Nothing Recedes Like Progress from their brand new CD, which I love, entitled The General Strike. Before Anti-Flag, you heard Reverend Bookburn's animation theme. Ghetto Priest did Masters of Deception. Birthday Boy, Paul Krasner, from his second spoken word slash comedy CD, Brain Damage Control, did Condom Blues and Mushroom Bust. Before Paul Krasner, you heard Camper von Beethoven doing Where the Hell is Bill, and started off with Rush doing For What It's Worth. This is Reverend Bookburn. The show is called The Reverend Is In. Tonight the theme has been Rush Limbaugh's Viagra Adventures. And really want to thank special guest Chiquita. Want to thank Lolo, as always, Pastor Whoremaster and John Necraptus. And, of course, very special guests, Chiquita and Rush Limpdick, and Dickless Cheney and George W. And let's see how these guys are. It does, God, for the first time ever, I agreed with something Bush said. They do look like there's kind of metallic flowers growing out of their asses. We got to thank Tom Corbett and Bob McDonald for allowing themselves to receive. And what is it? Invasive, thank you. Invasive, unnecessary medical procedures. Plus, it was fun watching, and we kind of made it up to Rush Limpdick for by giving him the pleasure of administering the medical procedures. Tonight's show is expected to be, barring any technical difficulties, to be uploaded and available permanently in the archives and accessible at all times for free, thanks to dear friend, co-producer from afar, engineer, archivist, longest time book burner of anybody who at least communicates with us, Pastor Rex Cat. And probably within a week, this will be up there as well, radio4all.net. And there'll be the links at the almost always updated reverendbookburn.com. The actual address is revbookburn.blogspot.com. But if that's too much to remember, there's an automatic redirect if you go to reverendbookburn.com. Happy birthday, Paul Krasner and Lord Jesus. Congratulations, Jennifer Hunter, for being in the Sunday New York Times article by Maureen Dowd that, if memory serves, and that's a big if, is entitled Fit to Be Tied. Jennifer Hunter can be found at jenniferhunter.org. So happy Palm and Stroke Sunday. We're not going to get to see you next Sunday when we would normally do the show theme that we do most years, Easter, what some people will do to get nailed. But we will be back in 2 weeks on April 15th for Reverend Bookburn's birthday show. 2 weeks after that, on April 29th, we will be doing our 420 show. 420 show 2012. In May, we always acknowledge National Masturbation Month, which usually means there's a few benefits, usually on the West Coast in America, called Masturbate-a-thons, which raise money for very good causes. And of course, nobody has ever answered the question, how does one pledge? But Carol Queen, Laura Riscoll, Dark Lady, and other friends have been involved in this stuff for years. And Dr. Susan Block also. So we will be celebrating National Masturbation Month in May, and we celebrate hard. And that will be the theme of every show in May. The first one will be National Masturbation Month - focus on the family jewels. All right, I think we covered pretty much everything. We crammed a lot of shit in here and did a whole big playlist. All right, that's it. So, oh, right to the Reverend, Rev Bookburn at sjcdc.org. Thank you to all guests. Thank you to Bookburners near and far, anywhere in the world. And we will see you in 2 weeks for the birthday show. We're going to play a closing tune and get out of here. Now, what is the appropriate way to close a show that was for Rush Limpdick? That isn't an easy question to answer. But we did come up with a tune that we thought might just fill that need. It's By the Damned from their Machine Gut It. Yeah, we didn't party too much this weekend. The track is By the Damned. The CD is entitled Machine Gun Etiquette. And this goes out to Rush Limptick, our guest of the evening. And this tune is entitled Liar. Good night.
Hey, minutes away. It's poo-poo, poo-poo. Something smelling pretty right coming from that sewer pipe. It's poo-poo.
got time for yesterday's news. Don't shoot me up with your bullshit news. If you don't wanna fuck me, baby, baby, fuck off. If you don't want a piece of the action, baby, take a walk. If you don't want a piece of the action, like it when you play with my knees. You ain't nothing but a prick tease. If you don't want a piece of the action, baby, take a walk. There's a door, punch your hurry. That you're hot shit, I heard. You ain't nothing but a cold turd. If you don't wanna fuck me, baby, baby, fuck off. One, two, three, four. If you ain't got time to take a walk with me on my meat rack, then you can just get the hell out of my bread line. Yeah. Fuck off, baby.
A look of afar, a secret smile. I blew a few kisses, said my name is Lyle. That love in her eyes,
love in her eyes.
Ooh, heart to heart,
heart to heart.
A tender goodbye,
a tender goodbye.
Nothing could ever keep us apart as you sipped your tequila. I knew I had to steal ya. Read like a book, surprise that you took your time. Dig that rhyme. Gone. Took a pass at the things I said. Good advice would be to go to bed, rest my head. Yeah. She took my friend.
seem so aloof. Ah, that's 90% proof. With a lump in my throat, I grab my coat and ran.
On it again.
Yeah!